listening to 90.7 KTUV, broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower, the third floor of the club. This is the PPS system. You can reach us at 509-335-2207 or on our website www.kcbu.org. Also, the PBS has its own website, and that is thepbs.com. Need a place to live? Looking for a roommate? The ASWSU Housing Commission can help. Visit the Housing Commission's website at cub.wsu.edu/hc for a renter's guide and housing listings. They also have a place for an ad for free for you. For more information, call 335-9574. Are you in need of free legal advice? Contact Student Legal Services for a free 30-minute consultation. Visit their office in Cub 316 or call 335-9539. KZUU offers free public service announcements just like the ones you just heard. If you need to get the word out about your club or event, stop by the KZUU office in Cub Room 311 and fill out a PSA form. Today on the show, we're going to talk about sports, technology, and, of course, politics, otherwise known as witty banter. In the sports section, we got a little high school football from around the state, some former Cougars in sports, NFL and the Seahawks, intramural sports, and intramural softball. If you thought I ranted in the past about some of the stuff going on in intramural softball, wait until today. In the technology news section, got a story about the PC being a thing of the past and the presidents of the United States and what they did for their latest music video. Also, we're going to talk about zero tolerance being zero common sense and the bookie and WSU relations, a wall of separation, and Proposition 1 passed. And I'd like to thank everybody who voted yes. This is the PES Talk in a Couple Minutes. Without a little bit of Reverend Horton. I think you all agree with me, it would not. So let's hear some Reverend Horton. That's right, Cougar fans, it's our time for talking about Cougs in sports. Some bad news coming out of Canada. Calgary's quarterback, Jason Gesser, suffered a serious leg injury in the second quarter of Friday's game. Jason left the game for the rest of the game, and I'm not sure if he's going to be back. I scoured all the CFL websites, and there wasn't a darn thing about exactly what kind of serious leg injury this was. But let's hope it wasn't some sort of broken leg or something where he'll be out for a long time. Unfortunately, he was having his opportunity to be out there and start, and he got hurt in the process. But he did score a touchdown on a goal line sneak, giving his team, the Stampeders, a 7-6 lead at that point in the game, just before his second quarter injury. So unfortunately for Jason Gesser, he's going to be sidelined again. Also, Drew Bledsoe had one heck of a day for the Dallas Cowboys. had 24 completions out of 38 attempts for 363 yards. He had two passing touchdowns, two interceptions, and most impressively, a six-yard touchdown rumble. He was looking to pass, finds an opening, goes running for the end zone, and right at the very end, there's a defender there, and he just bowled through the defender and made a touchdown for the Dallas Cowboys. So it was quite the exciting day for the Dallas Cowboys coming back from a deficit in order to win the game. It was I like to see the Dallas Cowboys do well, and Drew Bledsoe's out on the field, so I was pretty excited to see that they won the game. Alrighty, around the NFL. Atlanta 24, Buffalo 16. Cincinnati over Chicago 24-7. Tampa Bay beat Green Bay 17-16. And this is the worst start for the Packers since 1988. Indianapolis over Cleveland 13-6. Miami over Carolina by a field goal 27-24. St. Louis 31, Tennessee 27. Bolger was 21 of 28 for 292 yards and three touchdowns. Minnesota over New Orleans, 33-16. Culpepper had 300 yards. Jacksonville, an overtime victory over the New York Jets, 26-20. Philadelphia over Oakland, 23-20. Won by a field goal with 3 seconds to play in the game. Dallas, 34, San Francisco, 31. We were just talking about Drew Bledsoe. 363 yards passing and 6 rushing touchdowns. New England pulls one out, beats Pittsburgh 23-20. Brady had 372 yards passing. San Diego walloped New York Giants 45-23. Manning 352 yards in a losing effort. And Monday Night Football tonight, Kansas City at Denver, should be a fun game. Last but not least, the Seattle Seahawks 37, Arizona 12. Matt Hasselbeck 242 yards, no touchdowns, and yesterday was his birthday. Jackson had 125 yards receiving. Alexander, amazing, 140 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. Arizona's Kurt Warner, unfortunately, was injured early in the game and did not return. I'm one of those people that I actually root for this man. Seems like he's down and out on his luck, and I'd like to see him come back and have an outstanding, fabulous year. Switching gears from professionals to intramural sports, some upcoming events that should be pretty darn exciting. The Home Run Derby we've been talking about plays October 1st. Sign-ups are through the 29th. It's $2 per person. The punt, pass, and kick contest also on the 1st of October. The registration deadline is also on the 29th, and that also is $2. There's a badminton tournament. Sign-ups are from today to October 6th. Play is October 7th. $2 for singles, $4 for doubles. And now for the fun games. Flag football will be starting on October 16th, right when it's nice and cold, because it's got to be cold for flag football, I'll tell you what. If you're not out there freezing, then it's not cold enough, because flag football is all about being really cold out there. Anyway, October 16th, game time starts. Sign-ups are on October 11th and October 12th. It's $30 per team. If you sign up, there's also a flag football scramble you can sign up for. That is actually on October 13th, and it's free to play. The sign-up for that is October 11th through the 12th. Now, this is the one that I think is going to be exciting. I'm planning on putting a team together for this. Dodgeball. There's a dodgeball league. Play also starts on October 16th. It's also $30 a team, and the sign-ups are also on the 11th and the 12th. And the dodgeball also has a scramble on October 13th, which is also free for the teams that sign up. Anyway, dodgeball. I'm going to take, hopefully, a subset of my softball team, and we are going to put together a dodgeball team. And we are hoping, at least the people who've talked about playing on the dodgeball team, we are hoping that we get our one of our the right center fielder for our team. If we play, we really want him on our side, and I'll tell you why in a moment. On to WSU sports clubs. The Crew. Rowing is a round-year sport, and Cougar Crew can take walk-ons through January. The sooner you get started, the better you'll be for the spring races. Get a recruitment form at www.cougarcrew.com, or you can find their website through ours at www.thepes.com. Also, if you go to urec.wsu.edu, then click on sports clubs under the programming, under programs, there's a listing of all the WSU sport clubs, which includes sports like bowling and cycling and fencing, ice hockey, lacrosse, rodeo, rugby, skiing, and ultimate frisbee. Okay, I promised a rant about intramural softball, and here it goes. Last night were the last two games of the regular season for the Murderous Psychophantic Naders. Actually, it should be Psychophantic Naders, but I like to say Psychophantic Naders instead. It sounds better. That's what I go with. We were going to play a team from Farmhouse and another team called Cromerica. So far in the season, we've had one forfeit because that one team decided to sign up and then never show up for even a single game. And we've played three other games. So we're going into today. We need to win one to make the playoffs. We'd like to win both. We'd like to play both. But instead, we actually had a double forfeit. So we paid $30 for a season, and we played three games because of all the forfeits. I think that's just highly unfair that we pay the same amount as other teams, and the other teams get six games, and we get three games. Anyway, what happens is the first team, Farmhouse, they were a rec level team that accidentally signed up for the competitive league. And they were just sick and tired of getting beat all the time, so they just decided, I guess, not to show up because I believe they were 0-4 going into tonight. Even if they won both games, they had no chance at going to the playoffs, and I guess for them it was might as well not play at all if we can't go to the playoffs. So they don't show up. And then the other team, Cromerica, this is the one that was the most frustrating, was the fact that, oh, well, we've already made it to the playoffs, so we're not going to bother showing up. You know, and it's like, are you playing softball to say you made it to the playoffs, or are you playing softball because you want to play softball? Playoffs are just a reward for playing softball, not the, oh my, anyway. I'm not going to get started too much on that. Alrighty, let's talk about some high school football from around the state. Actually, I say around the state because I'm going to give my alma mater's score that they had, but it's not truly from around the state. It's mainly just from Pullman and Colfax. The Pullman High School Greyhounds beat the Deer Park Stags Friday night 49-7. It was their fourth win this season and the first in the opening game of the Great Northern League play. The Greyhounds scored 42 points in the first half. The defense is averaging only 10 points given up per game, and the offense is scoring almost 40 points during a game. The Greyhounds are going to be playing the Moscow Bears, who are also undefeated in Moscow. Moscow's averaging 39 points a game, so this could be a shootout, or maybe it could be a defensive struggle. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in this one. And the Colfax High School Bulldogs blank the DeSales Irish. Ben Onney completed just one pass for the whole day. It was a 25-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter, and those were the only points scored in the game. The final score was 6-0. The Bulldogs held the Irish to 25 yards rushing and 129 yards through the air. Coming into the game, the Irish actually averaged almost 36 points a game, so the Colfax Bulldogs really stepped up in that game. And now for my alma mater, the Liberty High School Patriots of Issaquah beat the Interlake team 58-28. Sounds like it was a little bit of a spanking. Way to go, Patriots. Okay, college football. This was sort of interesting. Notre Dame versus Washington. Unfortunately, I don't have a Cougar game to talk about this weekend, but the Huskies lost, so that's damn near as good as a Cougar win, right? So, when I watched the Fighting Irish start at the 1 yard line, I figured it would be a run play. You know, the Huskies fumbled right at the 1 yard line, which I think was hilarious. So the Irish take over at the 1 yard line. So they got 99 yards to go. And typically, when you're that deep, a lot of times you're just going to call a run play, get a couple yards, get a little bit of room to work with so your quarterback's not starting out in the end zone. And typically, that's what teams do. I mean, no team really has their quarterback stand in the end zone and do a pass play. It just doesn't happen. And I was really shocked when the first play was a pass. And as it turns out, it went for 13 yards. And I did think it was pretty darn interesting. I mean, it sort of caught my attention, but quickly after that play, I didn't think much more of it. You know, I was pretty much just rooting for the Irish to cream the Huskies. Well, yesterday on the Yahoo Sports website, there was a story about a 10-year-old boy with an inoperable brain tumor who was visited by Notre Dame's head coach, Charlie Weiss. Weiss had granted a wish to this kid, and the kid's wish was to call the first play of offense for the game. And the boy called a pass to the right. So when they started with the ball on the 1 yard line, you know, the boy's mom, Weiss, the quarterback for Notre Dame, Brady Quinn, they're all thinking, oh, geez, this isn't a very good idea. We shouldn't be doing a pass play from that point. But Weiss held true to his word, and he called a pass to the right. Sadly, however, the boy died Friday, the night before the game, and before he got a chance to see his play in action. But I think it's pretty neat that Weiss stayed with what the kid had called and pulled off the play and ended up actually getting 13 yards out of the deal. I think that's pretty neat. On that note, I will cheer everybody up with the Reverend. Wow. I almost thought that'd never get over. I'm sorry for choosing the longest song on the CD, but for those who like jazz, I'm sure you really enjoyed it. And I hope for everybody else you had a chance to expand your music tastes. Anyway, you're listening to KZUU 90.7 FM. This is the PES, broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower, the third floor of the Cub. Reach us at 509-335-2207 or on the web at www.kzuu.org. The PES's website is thepes.com. People of all ages and dance experience are welcome to attend Swing Devil's Swing Dance. The dance is held every Thursday in the ballroom of the Moscow Social Club located above CJ's at 112 North Street in Moscow, Idaho. The beginning dance lessons are free with admission and start at 8 p.m. The dance goes from 9 p.m. to midnight. For more information, visit www.swingdevils.org. Wow. This is a word I didn't think I'd say very often. The Vagina Monologues, art coming soon to WSU. The benefit production is seeking volunteers to help with auditions, rehearsals, and performances. Volunteer positions are open to students, faculty, members of the community. Volunteer meetings will be held in the Administration Annex, Room 305. Contact Diane Korwitz. Let's try that again. Diane Korwitz or VDayWSU at WSU.edu for more information. So, I've been talking about the old horse race that I've been a part of for the last couple days, or excuse me, the last couple weeks in the NFL season. The horse race essentially is a pool for the NFL season. Each person pays $20. Each week you choose one team that will win. If your team wins, you move on to the next week, and then you pick another team to win. And it keeps going until you're the last man standing. The only rule is once you've chosen a team to win, you cannot choose them again. So you have to be sure of your picks because you only get one crack at each one. So there becomes a little bit of strategy and let's not burn up all the great teams early on and then have no good teams in the middle of the time when there's only a couple people left battling for first place. The entry was $20. And the winner takes all. So it's $680 because there's 34 people in the pool. We're down to about 8 or 9 people. And unfortunately, not a single person dropped out this last week. So all of us who were there last week are going through this week. And I said in my submission was St. Louis versus Tennessee. And for some reason, I got that reverse, and I was thinking it was Tennessee that I chose over St. Louis. I couldn't remember which way I typed the email. So I'm sitting there watching the game off and on, some of the scoring breaks, scoring highlights and everything, and Tennessee's up 10-0. I'm like, woohoo! And then all of a sudden, St. Louis, 24 unanswered points. I'm like, oh, you're killing me! And then then Tennessee came back, and I'm rooting for Tennessee. I'm like, yes, go Tennessee, go Tennessee, go Tennessee. And then St. Louis ends up winning it with the Torrey Holt touchdown at the end of the game. And I was like, no, I'm out of the pool now. And I had such mixed feelings because Torrey Holt's on my fantasy football team, one of the fantasy football teams, and I'm thinking, okay, now I got a touchdown out of the deal, but I'm out of the pool. I just lost $680. But as it turns out, when I checked the email again, I had indeed said St. Louis over Tennessee. So I was like, woo, that's what I wanted all along. So anyway, I'm still in the pool, $680. Hopefully still will be coming my way. And speaking of the fantasy football leagues I'm in, I have one that you have to pay for and one that you do for free. One's through Yahoo and one's through a friend. Interestingly enough, in the free league, I'm 2-0 up until this week. And in the fantasy league, we actually have to pay like $1 for each loss, and you had to pay an entry fee and all that kind of stuff. Oh, 0-2. Oh, yeah. When it comes to money, it just doesn't seem to matter with me, I guess. I just lose everything. I'm actually partnered up with another guy, and I didn't make all the choices. Yeah, I'm making excuses. But I didn't make all the choices. I didn't choose the starting lineups the first 2 weeks, and we got crushed both times. But this week I chose the starting lineups. And with each team having one player left in Monday Night Football action, there's a separation of about 40 points, which in this league is very easy to overcome a 40-point deficit. So we're that close to taking the whole thing. Then in my other league, the free one, the Yahoo League, the first week I had a horrible, horrible, horrible week. None of my players performed. I had the second lowest point total in the whole entire league. Every single person except one in that league scored more points than me. But as it turns out, I got paired with the guy who scored the least points. So I ended up getting a win. And people who had two times the number of points I did got losses. So I thought that was pretty humorous. Week two, I actually went in there and crushed my competition. This week, though, my goodness, I'm playing against the guy that I work with. He has 93 points. In this league, the highest I had ever seen up to this time was like 60, 65 points. He had 93 points. I had like 29. I'm like, holy smokes. He had one guy at like 24 points. Unbelievable. 24 points. You just don't see that in this league. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to be crushed and creamed and broiled and skinned and everything else you could think of. This is just not good. I have three people to play Monday night games. He's done with his. But I have a hard time believing that my three guys are going to make up about 70 points. Unless they all have just outstanding and phenomenal games, it ain't going to happen. So I think I'm going to be suffering my first loss of the season. So I'm sort of disappointed about that because I'm a competitive guy. I like to win. So anyway, let's go back to a little bit more Reverend. And when we come back from the Reverend, we're going to have some technology news you should know. That was Sucrose from the Delgados. And for any of you who need help figuring out what this next band is, you haven't been listening to my show quite long enough. I have for you the Reverend Horton. You are listening to KZUU 90.7 FM, and that, of course, was the Reverend. We are switching gears. We are going to start talking a little bit about the technology news that you should know. Actually, this is a piece of news you don't need to know. I just think it's funny. There's a guy named Jonathan Schwartz. He's a president of the server and software maker Sun Microsystems. And he thinks PCs are a thing of the past. For some reason, he thinks that the internet and cell phones are going to take the place of PCs. So all of you guys out there typing your term papers on your computer and in CAD class, you know, making drawings and whatever you do in CAD, I guess you're going to do that on the cell phone and the internet for now on, according to Jonathan Schwartz. Because PCs are a thing of the past. I mean, if you think that PCs are something we would use in the future, you're crazy, because obviously the cell phone is where it's at. It's all about the internet. It's about everything beyond the internet. Well, okay, I'm being cynical, but ZDNet, they are my favorite site of anti-Microsoft. They're as anti-Microsoft as you can get. Well, maybe there's other sites that are worse, but every story they run, they make it sound like it's Microsoft bad and anything else is good. I mean, open source, by all means, is the way to go. I mean, these guys are 100% all about open source. They have a news... let me rephrase that. They have a commentary story on there that they're running as a news story about Microsoft being in real trouble over this internet thingy. Because I guess Google is going to be the next platform your computer runs on. But then again, according to Schwartz, we're not even going to have PCs in the future. So I'm sort of confused by the two stories. They're sort of contradicting one another. But Windows will be a thing of the past. So I guess in the future, you'll turn on your computer and it will just be the internet. I guess that would mean that everybody has to pay for a connection, and if the internet's down, then I guess your computer just don't work or something. I don't know. I guess they'll probably have something figured out. Maybe they'll put something like Windows on your computer so it works when the internet's down. Because we know the internet never, ever, ever goes down. You know, and it's so fast, especially if you live on campus. My goodness, it's blazing. I've never heard a single complaint from anybody on campus saying, you know, the internet here is so slow, I wish it was faster. No, just the opposite. I hear it's blazing fast. Okay, if you can't tell the sarcasm in my voice, let me work on it a little bit more, and maybe next week you'll hear the sarcasm there. Anyway, personal computers... Well, what's interesting, let's rewind back, say, 30 years or so, 20 years. You had the concept of a mainframe, and then you had your clients that hooked into this mainframe. And people went away from that. They went towards this idea of having this powerful system sitting on your desk. The system that was just as powerful as the big mainframes were is now on your desk. And you have a little computer monitor and a keyboard and a little mousey, and you sit there and you do your computer stuff. And depending on the era, that might have meant that you were using DOS, so you were probably using WordPerfect. And you would type up your papers, and you'd had to know all these keys. Actually, at that time, you probably weren't using the mouse very much. But you had to know all your little F key shortcuts for how to make things bold and centered and everything. So when Microsoft came out with Word, and you had this idea of what you see is what you get, like you want a centered and a bold, a word, it showed you on the page, hey, it's centered and it's bold. It was really weird. I'm sure most people here have not had the opportunity to see WordPerfect before it became the what you see is what you get graphical user interface. See the DOS version, and you'll see what I mean by the idea of what you see is what you get is really, really cool. So anyway, you had this powerful source right at your desktop, and then over the years, the system got better, the operating systems got better, and more applications started, and then this little thing they call the internet came along. And it's sort of crazy because I'm a little older than the average college student anymore, and when I was in high school and getting towards college is really when the internet became big. Before that, just the idea of being networked and, you know, using Gopher and telnetting to other servers, that was sort of the thing to do. Bulletin boards, those were huge. I mean, anybody back in the day, you had your 2400 baud modem and you were hooking into your local BBS and cruising all around and hitting chat rooms and all that kind of stuff. And it's sort of crazy today for somebody to even imagine what this BBS on a 2400 baud modem even means, but for some of us older people, that's what the internet was all, that's what being networked was all about. So anyway, they've gone away from the server client mentality back almost like a full revolution, a full circle. Now people are starting to claim that we're going to be right back at that. We're doing this full revolution where we've gone from the client server to the desktop mentality, and we're almost getting back to the client server mentality, which is what they're saying these new internet platforms would be. Essentially, is that your client would hook into the internet. I don't know if I should call it a client computer, so to speak, because it'd probably just be more or less, it sounds like a dumb terminal. You'd have to probably pay for some connection. You turn it on, and boom, there's the internet. And everything you'd need to do supposedly would be on the internet. I would suppose they would build word processors that you can, that you can save your papers there and print them out, and you would be able to probably, they might make some sort of Adobe Photoshop type program for the internet platform and all this kind of stuff. But I could only imagine programs like Photoshop or Adobe Premiere or some CAD programs that would just be so graphically intensive and so processor intensive that I don't see how